Are you ready to go offside? Because it's time for Offside Hockey Talk with your host, James Roberts, and myself, Doug Ireland.
Dougie, we finally have Maple Leafs hockey. The boys are back on the ice. What did you think of last night's game? We'll touch on everything else shortly, but what did you think of the game last night, my friend?
Well, I'll tell you what, the first 30 seconds or so, I was very worried that opening goal, that opening shift, that was just, you know, that's not how I envisioned the start of the season, you know, going.
Listen, I don't know if you think back to last year when I did my prediction season videos, but I predict the Leafs to stomp the Ottawa Senators. And for whatever reason, it seems to be a growing trend that Ottawa comes out feisty and fighting. And it may be because everybody's counting them out or they have the grinded soldier mentality. But that team there is the epitome of don't just write us off. Otherwise, we will jam it down your throat. And they tried to last night. And look at former Leafs all over the place. Tyler Ennis running amok. You have Ron Hainsey shooting that goal. It didn't count because they were offside. But Connor Brown assisting on that goal 25 seconds in. The Leafs' fingerprints were all over this game on both sides of the puck. But, again, I was thinking to myself, this is going to kick me right in the arse, and I'm going to feel it really hard again. Because Ottawa fans, I don't know if you remember, Doug, they're not very forgiving when you pick their team to lose and they stomp the ever-loving crap out of your Maple Leafs. So I don't know if you remember that, but I sure do.
Oh, yes, I do. And I remember there was a little bit of a thing with a certain guy by the name of Brian 5 or 6, if I recall.
Yeah, Brian's always good for a good video and a good laugh. I love Brian. Does a lot of good things for the Ottawa Senators and the Ottawa Senator region. But going back to last night's game, the thing that everybody was talking about going into the game was front of mind for everyone. We were all excited about it. Everybody is rambling about it. And it was Jason Spezza not playing against the Ottawa Senators on opening night, yet sitting in the press box. I'm going to tell you right now, Doug, Jason Spezza does not last the entire year with the Maple Leafs.
What?
He will be released.
Really? What makes
I do not think he stays.
So you don't think that... Just before we go any further, because I forgot to do this at the top of the show, I want to take this time to thank our sponsor, MSFI.ca. Make sure you visit them at MSFI.ca. But back to what you were saying... Yeah, I don't know about that, man. You know, like, the guy at the end of the day, he's still Jason Spezza, just like at the end of the day, Patty Marleau was still Patty Marleau. Like, I definitely think that it's preemptive to say that before the guy's even played a game here. Like, I mean...
Difference in contract.
It's true.
You have $6 million plus in Patty Marleau that you can't just bury in the minors. And Jason Spezza, you can send him down, and it does not reflect against your cap. After you see... The way Babcock talked about it yesterday, wanting him to be a penalty kill player. And if you look at the advanced stats on Jason Spezza, and I don't dabble a lot in them, but if you listen to what people are saying, his defensive numbers are crap, and his possession numbers are crap. So what are you looking? You're looking at this guy to be your fourth line center, and what does Babcock want out of his fourth line? He wants energy, puck possession, and he wants to drive the play in the other zone. Obviously, Spezza can win you the draw, but after that, it doesn't seem like he can keep up with the flow of game. And the reason why I'm saying Jason Spezza won't last with this team, his contract can be buried down in the minors, but I think you'd see a mutual termination of the contract. And after the comments from Spezza yesterday about being disappointed, is he going to be continually disappointed all season long? Is he going to be pissed off every time that he has to sit? Is he going to be pissed off if he doesn't get his cookies? And do we need that in the locker room? I'm wondering if we need that around the team.
I think you might be like you're not an NHL hockey player if you're not disappointed if you're not playing and you're not disappointed, then what are you doing in the NHL? Like, I feel like that's just a hockey player's response. And by that, I don't mean, like, it's a response that, you know, you expect hockey players to get. I think that's just a response you give if you're the type of guy that competes as hard as an NHLer would.
But remove that fact of the fact that you're an NHL player and you're disappointed that you're not making the opening night lineup. Here's the thing, okay? And this is, it's already been going on since camp, where he's spurring little words Babcock is towards Spezza. And then you look at this part here. Okay, it's the opening night.
James, I think we lost you there, bud.
Ontario, that he was on the other side at one point. You think this would be a game that you want him to be in and you want him to be a part of, right?
Sorry, James, you cut out there for a minute.
You think this is a game to be a part of and be able to be in the lineup and you know, produce and have an impact in this game, but unfortunately that did not happen. So I see it as, what else is Jason Spezza going to be upset about? And this is not the thing we should be talking about at the beginning of the season. Unfortunately, it is, though.
Well, I just don't see... I can't see judging a guy before he's even had a chance to play a regular season game. Like, what if
Listen,
he comes? What
not
if he comes out?
The guy,
what if he,
the situation.
But what if he comes out and he scores a hat trick his first game and then goes a point per game for the next 15 games after that? Like, you know what I mean? You can't give. Yeah, like he's never played a game in a Maple Leafs uniform. For all we know, he could come out gangbuster as soon as he gets the opportunity, right?
And maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe that's the key of Mike Babcock trying to spur him. But honestly, and we all know this about Mike Babcock, when you start to fall down Babcock's ladder, you don't climb back up it. You look at guys like Justin Hall. You look at guys like Josh Levo. Your list goes on. Guys that are basically practice squad guys that never really get a game chance unless it's absolutely necessary. So I'm just wondering, and I hope it's not true, but I'm wondering if he's starting to slide down that Babcock ladder. And it's, you know, it might be to do with play. It might be to do with pride. And who knows if they can cohesively go together. I know it's after game one, but it was a big story yesterday. It was a big story in camp. This guy came at an entry-level deal, wanted to play with the Maple Leafs, and everybody was excited. And then, of course, Babcock throws some cold water on it. Maybe it's to temper expectations. And hopefully, hey, you know, Doug, I hope you're right. I hope Jason Spezza can go out and shoot the lights out. For whatever reason, I don't see him finishing the year as a Maple Leaf. I just don't.
Well, it certainly would be better for the Leafs if that's how this like played out. But at the end of the day, you know, we're talking about a team that has lots of depth. We're certainly not going to struggle to fill our fourth line this year. I mean, personally, I would rather see Jason Spezza succeed in a Leafs uniform than not. Whether I want at the expense of, say, a Nick Shore, I don't know. Like, I just want whoever is the best in that spot, and I'm not particularly – I don't think that that's something to be concerned about if you're a Leafs fan. I don't think you're going to be putting Spezza in out of respect or pity. I think that if he's going to be playing games for the Leafs, it's going to be because he has something to offer us. At least that's
definitely,
you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know, if your skill isn't there and the only thing you can do is add to our power play, which we already have a very sick power play, and add to faceoffs, well, really the only thing you're adding is to faceoffs. And if you can't do anything else with the puck 5-on-5 or even shorthanded, then, you know, what are we going to do? You need speed and skill. And he obviously has the skill, but the speed may no longer be there. But move on from this,
yep.
Just to let you know that Timothy Liljegren was sent down today to the Marlies, and they did call up Nick Petan. They do have that window of 30 days to be able to call up guys like Agostino, Petan, Harper, and all that, where they don't require waivers to go back down. They can go up and down as much as they want. So Nick Petan is up with the team now. So take that as much as you want. I don't know if it's a reflection of who didn't play well last night or it's another guy that they're going to cycle in and out. Again, Petan is now up, so, and I think Petan had a really good preseason, so we'll see where he shakes out and where he fits in the lineup.
Well, something that Papa Ireland pointed out while I was watching, because I was able to catch the beginning of the game before I had to go off and watch a bunch of old timers skate around instead, is that the Leafs have not had too many serious, like, for real preseason games. This team has not played as a team very much. Like, the way that it looked on opening night may have actually, I think that was only the first or the second game where that particular group of players was on the ice together all at once. So it's going to be a feeling out process. I think that's why we're seeing Liljegren being sent down, Petan being called up. I would expect to see more of that because now that you have the majority of the team set, like, you know, you can be reasonably confident that Sandin probably isn't going anywhere, at least for the next few games. You can start.
No, he's not going anywhere all season. If anybody's coming out of that lineup for Dermott,
yeah,
it's going to be a Marty Marincin.
Oh, well, you, like, but that's just like I'm saying. Like, this is the opportunity to figure out who is going to work best chemistry wise with each other. Who's truly ready to step into an NHL role. You learn so much more from regular season games than you do from preseason, and I think that's what this whole Patan Liljegren situation is about. Like, I didn't see anything that was just like, man, they need to send Liljegren down. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, Liljegren didn't even play last night, right? He's in the press box.
That's what I mean. I didn't see anything that, like, it's and who else was there? Was someone else in the press box too, right?
Spezza.
No, there was someone else. That's what I mean. It was Liljegren, Spezza, and somebody, wasn't it? Or is it only two?
I think it was only two, but anyways.
Yeah.
You know, looking at this squad, you're right. You're going to see what you're going to get. And I'll tell you something right now, Doug. Something you are seeing and something you are going to get is a wicked player in Ilya Mikheyev.
Yeah.
If he can play like he did last night for a duration of 82 games. Now, keep in mind, guys, this guy here played in the KHL, and he has not gone through the rigors of an 82-game season. So you don't know if this player is going to slow down towards the end of the year, and you don't know how his body and everything is going to keep up. Obviously, he's a finely tuned athlete. It's hard to make the NHL. Only the 1% of them do. But I'm just saying, different breed of hockey, different style. So you never know what he's going to be all season long. But if he can play this way, whoo, he was after the puck. He was hitting. He got the goal. His hands were there. I'm excited for this guy, man. I'm really excited for Mikheyev. And Sandin did not impress me, honestly. I watched him play. He got the assist, his first NHL point, and just the puck moving and just smart little decisions. Those are the things you need out of a guy who's not only a rookie, but just getting his feet wet in the NHL. And Morgan Riley said he had Dion Phaneuf to bring him along, but Morgan Riley said that, you know, with Sandin, you didn't really need to give him that guidance. He's had a full year under his belt in the AHL professional hockey. Now he's coming into the NHL ready. So I'm very excited for those two guys. Doug, what are your thoughts on Ilya Mikheyev and Rasmus Sandin?
Well, Sandin, you know, you wouldn't know that the kid was 19 years old just by looking at him. You really wouldn't. In terms of development, he's right there. I can certainly see what Babcock said. His comment that Babcock made is, I put him through everything. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. I put him through everything. I put him in good games. I put him in bad games. I shifted him for half the game, and he just kept up with everything. That is very true. This is a kid that's, to me, 100% ready for NHL play. The only thing that you can't measure is sustained NHL hockey. Like, you know, and I'm not going to say anybody can, but I would say there's probably a significant portion of AHL players that can come out and play, like, you know, half a dozen, even less, somewhere between 3 and 10 games of NHL style and quality hockey without looking like they're behind, a step behind, or, you know, that they aren't there. And then the more they play, the more they fall off. So we don't really know that for sure until he gets, you know, 15, 20 games of NHL hockey under his belt. But it certainly suggests that he's going to be capable of that. I mean, younger guys, generally, they got a bit more pep and stuff. So, and he looks like his skill level is there for certain. Whether or not he has the stamina, there's only one way to find out, and that's to play him enough games to find out whether or not he has stamina. So I got no problems with Sandin. Mikheyev, same thing. Sandin was playing, you know, his level of hockey that he's capable of playing. Mikheyev may actually have been playing above himself, which, like I said, there's guys in the AHL that can go a certain number of games and look like NHLers, but then the longer they play, the worse they look. I'm not saying that's what Mikheyev is, but I'm just saying that, to me, I saw a guy that was playing better than he's capable of. He was playing up to the level of players that were around him. Whether he's going to be able to grow into that and maintain that, I don't know. But yeah, I certainly liked what I saw from both of them. What I really liked was our bottom two lines, and especially in that opening period, that first like 5 to 10 minutes, our like top two, three lines, they did not look too good. They really didn't. They were having like off shifts. They were behind the pace of the game. And then every time our third and fourth line went out, they were rocking. They were up and down the ice. They were sticking with the play. They were generating scoring chances when the other lines weren't. That's the type
of
depth. That's
kind of what you need, though.
What?
You know, it's kind of what you need out of your bottom two lines. If your top
yes.
two lines,
yeah.
or for whatever, they both shouldn't be sluggish, But the bottom line should be able to bring the energy, and that's what Babcock's always talking about.
Yeah.
Pushing the play, you know, hits, you know, making sure you do all the small things right, but keeping the puck down in the O-zone, and that way, you know, when your top two lines finally get out there, the puck's already in that zone, and you have a better opportunity of putting the puck in the net. But, yeah, you're right. They were definitely sluggish in the first period.
I mean, it's, now, to be fair, the number of times I've seen teams come out, do an opening ceremony, go out and stand on the blue line for like 5 minutes, including the anthem, that, you know, that a lot of times that takes the wind out of your sails. There's all that pressure that build up and then a sudden, like, just relaxing relief. It can be hard to get going again. I've seen it time and time again with the teams that I do in the OGHL. It's like a freeze in the kicker in football. It's the exact same thing. There's this huge buildup and then it's like nothing. Like, you're getting all psyched up and pumped up, and then just the fact that you're literally on your feet standing there for 5 minutes or so, you know, that ices you. That gives you, like, you know, you're not in your pre, you're not, like, when you're in the tunnel, guys are getting jacked up. You can see that even the Patriots, when they come out of their dressing room and they're waiting for the starting lineups to come up, for the clock to count down or whatever, you can see them, like, jumping around, like, whew, getting into it and stuff. Like, you know, that's what you do. And you don't get to do that when you have to stand there on the blue line and look professional for 5 minutes. That takes the wind out of your sails, straight up, you know. So I think that's what we were seeing. I think the evidence of that being true is the fact that, you know, Matthews went on and got two goals. Tavares was humming all night. Nylander was humming all night. Like, after that, like, opening 5-10 minutes to get back into the pace of the game.
Can we talk about Nylander for a second?
Oh,
holy,
yeah, baby.
Smokes. This guy, I got him in both my pools in fantasy hockey, and everybody was lamenting the fact that I took this guy. Like, oh, I don't know what you're doing there. Look, this guy is going to go beast mode. He not only had a breakaway chance last night, the guy probably could have had two goals and an assist, hooked up with Matthews on a sick goal. I mean, Nylander, I think he's going to go full beast.
I want to cut you off. I want to cut you off about that sick goal. You're going to have to go muted because I can't make my phone reach enough here on camera. So just 1 second. But, folks, this is what happened to my phone because of William Nylander, all right? I don't even know if you can pick that up on the camera. It is shattered. It shattered. I dropped my phone. I was watching. Now, I already mentioned it earlier. Hold on. Let me get James back here for a second, guys. All right, James, you there?
Of course.
So, my back of my phone is cracked. I had my phone in my hand while I was watching that sauce dish pass from Nylander to Matthews. I dropped my phone and it shattered. William Nylander, you owe me a brand new phone, all right? That's like, what the hell? I could not believe how good that. When I saw the guy's stick comes down, I'm like, okay, he's gonna block Nylander's pass, and he just sauced it right over, like, mint. That was one of the cleanest goals that I've seen. It takes that's performing under pressure right there. When you're on a 2-on-1 rush like that, and a guy gets his stick down to block the pass across, and you go tape to tape, less than 10 feet away from the goal. Oh, baby. Anyways, I'm sorry I cut you off there. I had to go off for a second.
No. I just say Nylander is gonna have a sick season this year.
Oh yeah.
Here's the best thing. Okay, we haven't even talked about this yet, but you watch the Maple Leafs lineup, like you said, standing on the blue line for 5 minutes. You know, announcing the team, getting everybody out there. Then they skip over Mitch Marner. Then they skip over Morgan Rielly, Austin Matthews. And, of course, they skip over John Tavares before Tyson Barrie. So you know something's there. But they added the intrigue. They did a great thing. And I want to pause for the cause for 1 second and just say this. Brian Burke, I don't know what stick is up your butt lately, man. But seriously, you sat there and you're single-handedly – I think you're ruining the Sportsnet broadcast, just to let you know. You sat there, and they say, what do you think of all this? You think it's great? Nope. Could have got 2 days of news out of this one, Johnny. Well, dude, it's not you. You're just pissed off because the Leafs didn't do good when you were at the helm, and you didn't do this. You didn't bring this kind of level of excitement and readiness to the Maple Leafs. Sorry, Mr. Truculence, you didn't. And I was damn excited when you became the GM of the Maple Leafs. But don't dare sit there and start making yourself think you're better than what's going on, because you're not. This team is way leaps and bounds better than whatever you could have been. But let's go back to what I was about to talk about. You line those guys up on the line. The intrigue is there. Everybody's excited. Everything's humming. They announce, boom, Mitch Marner from Thornhill, Ontario, A. Then you got Morgan Rielly from out west, A. And then from Scottsdale, Arizona, the whole crowd just went ape. And then, of course, he gets the A. And then John Tavares, which, by the way, Maple Leafs PR, that video you did putting John Tavares' little newborn son in that jersey and doing all of that with his wife and then bringing him into the room to announce his captaincy to him was wicked. That is the way that you do it. I love the fact they show Shanny holding the baby and just what kind of level of family and intricacy, well, I can't even say the word. You know what I mean. The yes. fabric is woven. That's what I'm trying to say. You're putting family and team together, and it looks wicked. I can't speak today, guys. Just so everybody knows, I am sitting in my work truck at work, downtown Halifax, parked on a gravel lot doing this today because I love my Maple Leafs, and I love doing Offside Hockey Talk, so I will find a way anytime, anywhere, any place. But announcing that captaincy for John Tavares is awesome. The only thing that I'm a little bit meh about is Austin Matthews having the A on the road and Mitch Marner having the A at home. It seems a little weird to me. I don't know if it's just because they want him to be someone to deal with on the road or they didn't want to give him anything at home out of the disappointment for the situation. I don't know. But I want to say congrats to the Leafs organization for the way they put that out there, the way they put everything together from the video to the whole announcement for John Tavares. It was awesome. And in warmups, nobody's wearing any letters. Just build the intrigue. Cannot wait for the season, Doug. I'm so pumped after last night.
Now didn't somebody a year ago say that a certain guy would end up being the Leafs captain? Didn't someone predict that? About a year ago, didn't we pick up a certain guy over the summer? And then someone said, oh, you can't make him captain right away because he has to go through a year of being a Toronto Maple Leaf and dealing with Leafs fans and dealing with Leafs media and going through the Green Mile pipe. I seem to recall some guy saying that on some sort of podcast. You remember who that was, James?
I don't remember anybody saying that ever.
It was me. What are you talking about?
I'll tell you this. Okay, I did a prediction season video yesterday, and I used it last year.
You called it.
I think once or twice.
You did call it.
But no. I didn't call it. You called it.
I called it a year ago. You called it yesterday. And honestly, the time gap between those two, like, very, very different. I feel like yours is one of those rare cases where making the call right before it happened may actually have been worth more just because of the environment that Leafs media was going through than the lead up to that. Like,
well, I don't know if you realize the jersey I was wearing, what was on that jersey, but I bought that jersey and had the C put on that a year ago. I've had that jersey, and you can go back and watch some of the old prediction season videos. I think I wore that jersey twice last year, but it is a John Tavares captaincy jersey.
Well, there was a lot of speculation that was why we got him, was to be the captain of the Maple Leafs. Like, if this...
I didn't even get to talk about this. So apparently, and this might blow your mind, because I don't know if you read 31 Thoughts by Elliot Friedman, and if anyone listening to this does not take the time to read 31 Thoughts or listen to 31 Thoughts podcast, you're out of your flipping mind, because they're both great a read and a great listen, and that's not a plug for those guys. Don't work with them, don't talk to them, don't know them, but both things are amazing. In 31 Thoughts, Elliot Friedman does say that the decision to name John Tavares the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs came 3 or 4 days before everything came to light with Austin Matthews.
I believe it. I think it was made a year ago.
That decision was already made, so the thing that happened and the factoring in of all of this stuff and, oh, they took it away from him because of, well, apparently no, and apparently Austin was on board before all that came out. So let's put that to bed, that Austin Matthews is going to be upset and angry. You know, I mentioned it when we were talking to Lance Hornby, but that coming out just shows me, okay, not only does Austin Matthews support this decision, but Austin Matthews also is a more mature and bigger person than maybe some give him credit for in certain situations. So, you know, he could have been pissy and moany that, hey, this is my team, I've been here longer, this sucks, but you know what? Obviously he gave the vote of, hey, this should be who it should be, and I don't know if his word meant anything, but the fact that he supports it and is happy. And after he scored that first goal last night, did you see how amped that boy was? He was jacked up. So I'm excited for this season. Everything's fallen into place. We have great defenders finally that we can look at. We have sick forwards. We have a rotating cast for our fourth line that last year we would have killed for over Par Lindholm and the likes. So, dude, this season's going to be freaking wicked. And Offside Hockey Talk going 2 times a week? Come on, and we're live right now? Are you kidding me, boys? This is wicked.
Can I ask one thing? Because I get the feeling we're about to wrap it up here. I want to get your opinion on one specific player. What were your thoughts on Cody Ceci?
You know what? Cody Ceci just did what he was told. You know, ultimate foot soldier. You know, he's not there for offense, but he did put some pucks on the net. But, you know, pucks in deep. The cliches, man. You know, he's there to support Morgan Riley, who's going to be more, I don't know if you've seen it last night, but burn and turn, just get up the ice and do what you want with the puck. Yeah. Same with Tyson Barrie.
Did that twice, but, two or three really good rushes from Morgan Riley. Like, and I mean, there are a couple other ones. So there's two or three really solid ones, though.
Even Muzzin had the same, you know, buzzing in his feet. But I'm just saying, you know, Muzzin and CeCe, I think, you know, more so CeCe than Muzzin, but they're there to support the offense antics that Morgan Riley and Tyson Barrie will get into.
Yeah.
And they're there to be that pillar. We know that they have the foot speed to get back, but those guys will be the support, and that's what you're supposed to have. And, you know, it looked good, too, especially when Muzzin decided to start buzzing, you know, that Barrie was back a little bit to carry the load. And, you know, it was pretty I'm excited about it, man. CeCe, if you go back to your nucleus of your question, he was where he needed to be. He did what he needed to do. Obviously, the first goal sucked to have that go in. But you know what? I look at things in life, whether it's the start of your day, start of a new job, whatever. You want the worst possible things to happen right away. Right away, so you can get them out of the way, shake it off, and move forward and build towards positive. Because if you start at the ultimate high of highs with some things, sometimes it's impossible to keep attaining that. But if you have a bad situation to start from, you can look at it. It cannot get much worse. We need to build and be positive and just look for positive little things to keep going. And you can use that in everyday life. I mean, like I said, your day starts off like crap. Just look at it. Hey, how can I turn this around? And just keep building to better and better. And I think that's what CeCe did. It sucked the first play of the game, and you built it to a better thing at the end. So that's what I think CeCe's going to do.
I don't even count that first play. Like between the everything, all the build up to this, and the guys not really even having a true full squad game, I'm not even considering that first goal. There were a couple plays where he looked shaky. But when I see a player look shaky, what I look to see is how he reacts to that, how he adjusts, and every single time he got back. And I think there was one, I can't remember, I think it was partway through the second period where he had the puck come off his stomach and he scrambled for a second, and then he stopped himself and then he cleared the puck away. There were a couple little plays like that sprinkled in throughout the game with him where he kept his composure. That's all we need from him. We have Tyson Barrie. We have Jake Muzzin. We have Morgan Riley. We have Marty Marincin, apparently.
Hey, Doug, yeah. I'll tell you this. It's a heck of a lot more for your confidence to be playing with a team like the Maple Leafs. It's another thing to be asked to be a number one or number two on the Ottawa Senators when they have nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
So that's when you put a person in a position to succeed with other things around him to help him succeed, I think we may see the best version of Cody Ceci. And keep in mind, guys, the guy's only 25 years old. So he's not exactly ancient, washed out.
Lots of room to grow.
There may be a salvageable project here that either we trade at the trade deadline or we keep for the year and let him walk. Who knows?
I mean, but the way I look at it is if he
said, right?
Yeah. If he's one of the worst defensemen on the team, we're good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're good. That's fine with me. I can deal with that easily. Much, much better than last year and in other years prior. I'm totally on board with that situation for our defenseman.
So, Doug, I got a question for you, okay? So, Friday night, we have the Columbus Blue Jackets, and you best believe that I'll be hitting up our friends over at Inside the Neutral Zone and Ryan Lacy, because those are huge Columbus Blue Jackets fans. Shout out to everything they're doing. But I'm going to be reaching out to those guys because we play Columbus. Now, when we play Columbus, Doug, who do you think is going to be between the pipes?
Probably Anderson, right?
Well, Saturday night, we take on the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, but I'm not as worried about the Canadiens as I am about Columbus, right? I mean, are you? What would you? I'd go. I would go Anderson and then Hutchinson.
There's a lot of talk about going Anderson, because it's early in the season, and you know what?
That's how guys get there.
Roll them. But my thought is you go Hutchinson on Friday because Columbus, and I know I'm going to talk about this in my prediction season video, but they are a team that is depleted. You know, a lot of their star power is gone, but they're a team that you would not take lightly. But I think that's the game that you put Hutchinson in, and you put him in against Montreal because of what it is. And you know what? Maybe Babcock won't, because we've seen, hey, the Spezza thing. So maybe it'll be Hutchinson, or maybe it'll be Anderson then Hutchinson. But I think you put Anderson in Saturday night. But we'll find out soon. I'm looking this weekend, and shoot me now, Leafs fans, but I'm looking for a 1-1 this weekend.
You're looking for 1-1. So which game?
One win, one loss. I'm looking for us to beat Columbus and probably lose to Montreal.
Oh, really? See, now I would have said the other way around, except that I think we're probably going to win both games. There's just so much momentum coming off of this win against Ottawa, which really, quite frankly, there shouldn't be that much momentum coming off. If this was like a middle of the regular season game, there wouldn't be any. Because of where Ottawa is in their rebuild and stuff like that. But given that it was coming off of season opener, home opener, you know, so much speculation about how the team's going to work. To me, it makes sense that we have as much momentum going into this. And I think we'll win both games, man. I think we're going to start the season off 3-0. I'm going to knock on wood. And that's my prediction. If I'm going to give my prediction, it's going to be that we're going to beat Columbus. I'm going to say we'll beat Columbus by one goal. I don't want to pick how many. And I think we'll shut out. I said the word against Montreal. That's what I'm calling at least.
You know what?
Yep.
Something else to be had this weekend too.
On Friday.
Talk about it real quick. Is on Friday night we have the Milton Menace and the Markham Royals playing, and it is fire prevention safety. Obviously, you need to check that out. Big thing going on for the Markham Royals. Now, there's something bigger going on, and Jason Trifon, I'm looking at you, and Jody, I'm looking at you as well. There is a bet that was started in the offseason before the teams hit the ice that the Markham Royals will defeat the Milton Menace in this game, and I'm telling you right now, if the Milton Menace win, I have to rock a Milton Menace hat. And Jason, if you're listening or you hear this, you guys need to send me this hat if you want me to wear it. That's no problem. But I'll tell you right now, you guys will be rocking some Markham Royals gear, because it's go Royals, go. You guys will be bending the knee in the kingdom. But it's always great to watch junior hockey, guys. It's going to be some wicked games this weekend, so be sure to check out the Markham Royals, be sure to check out the Milton Menace, and all of the OJHL, because on this very podcast, you get to hear the voice of the OJHL, and that is Doug J. Ireland. I give a tip of cap to this guy. He's constantly working in junior hockey, constantly looking to help teams improve their in-game experience, so the OJ is in a debt to Doug Ireland, and Doug, I cannot wait to see the Royals defeat the Milton Menace.
Well, I'm going to make it as hard as possible for Milton to win. That's my job. That's what I enjoy doing, is give my team the best possible chance to win, give them as much momentum as I can. And if you're in Markham, you should come out to the Markham Centennial Center and watch this hockey game. It's going to be a good one. It's a great opportunity to learn about fire safety on top of all that. There's going to be a fire truck there. There's going to be firemen there if you're into that sort of thing. So come on out to the Markham Centennial Center. There's details up on markhamroyals.ca. But for right now, we're going to go over to our interview that we taped earlier this week with Mark Jocelyn of the Toronto Patriots.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another special edition of Offside Hockey Talk. It is the OJHL edition, and tonight we are sitting down with Mark Jocelyn to talk about the Toronto Junior Patriots. Mark, how are you this evening, my friend?
I'm doing okay. Just actually going over some video of our game last night. We had video difficulty in the North York double overtime loss, so can't watch that one, but I'm watching last night's game and some of the Georgetown game, which I had to unfortunately miss. So video night. We have no practice today, so it's all about video and trying to figure out what we need to do to get better.
Well, Mark, I know you're going through a tough time, so I just wanted to take the time to thank you for joining us on Offside Talk. Really appreciate it, buddy.
My pleasure. Again, Doug, yeah, I want to say live in front of all the listeners, the class act that you are and what you did for me and my family. With a moment of silence on Saturday night for my mom, all apparently your idea. Forever grateful and will never forget. And I pray my mom was up there watching and watching the national anthem and listening to your little spiel. So again, something I'll never ever forget. So thank you.
Not a problem at all, Mark. I'm a guy like you deserves the best. One thing that I really want to ask you about, because I wasn't able to catch the game against St. Mike's. What the hell happened? Because yeah. I look up and I see a 10-6 score, and I'm just like, what the hell kind of hockey game is that? Especially after you just said the double overtime loss. Like, what happened?
Well, you know what? I obviously St. Mike's has been struggling defensively, and they've had some goaltending issues. They started their backup, Carsley. We started our backup, Selby Warren, and we had a great start, and we were beating them 5-0 and 7-2, I believe, the last time we played them, and kind of took the foot off the pedal, and it was kind of almost like last shot wins. But I mean, just little things, attention to detail on assignments and back checks and stuff. Kind of both teams, I'd say, let the goalies out to dry a little bit. But
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a road win, and it's ugly, but you know what? We're going to take it any day.
Yep, that's the attitude you got to have when, especially 16 goals in a game like that. Just that must have been nuts. I feel for the St. Mike's PA announcer because I know how tough it is to call 16 goals in a game. I look at all the scores that we've had so far, and I'm wondering like how much of a parallel was there between like that game against St. Mike's and what you saw against like Brampton, which was another game where we gave up I think 6 goals. And North York, where we gave up 5 goals. Are you seeing like a pattern there, or is it just like, you know, something different each time?
It's a bit of a pattern where we have some excellent starts, and we get some real big key timing saves. There's definitely some goals we've given up that our goaltenders want back, and we'll take some of the blame for them. We've talked to Mario, and I'll talk to Selby tomorrow practice. Definitely some goals that they want back, so, you know, it's a little bit of that, but again, it starts with our defense and our forwards and missing assignments. And then if the goalies aren't there to make the saves for you, it just compounds down. So, I mean, we're scoring at 4.5, 5 goals per game, four, which is fantastic, the rate we're scoring. But that's going to change come January, February when it comes down to the crunch. But we're just giving up too many right now. And, again, it's okay in the end of September, early October, but it's going to come back to haunt us if we don't fix these things. And, I mean, we're working hard at it. We're working diligently. We do a lot of video. These guys are trying. They really are. The new guys are trying to buy in. They're trying to get it. It's just taking some time. But, I mean, we don't even think we're playing as good as we possibly can. And we've still got a pretty good record. So we're quite happy with that.
I mean, I know you probably don't want to talk about it, but the double overtime loss on Saturday, it took a heck of a lot of character for the guys to dig deep down in that third period. There was, you know, it was 4-2 at the beginning of that period, and they were all over North York. Like, it wasn't even a question about, in my mind at that point, who deserved to win. Just based, if you could break it down to one period, we should have won that game. And I love seeing that amount of effort and that amount of heart from the guys. And yeah, I just wanted your thoughts on that, even though it's tough.
Yeah, the character. No, honestly, you're right though. The character in the dressing room, before games, after games, practices, it's fantastic. The leadership group has been fantastic so far. We're keeping a close eye on them because leadership is important. We didn't keep an eye on it last year as much as we should have. So that's on us as a coaching staff. This year, it's been fantastic so far. Touch wood. But I mean, I believe so far. The third period against Wellington, who's an excellent hockey team, and the third period against North York when we were down, we put ourselves in a bit of a hole. But the character we showed in the resilience in that third period against North York, you know, I'm thinking we probably had the puck in their zone about 80% of that third period.
Oh, yeah.
And fired a lot of pucks at net. They did a great job boxing out and blocking shots and whatnot. But, you know, those two periods, they stick out in my mind that we showed some good character there. We deserved a better fate after the way we played in the last 30 minutes. you know, and they got one, you know, early in the second overtime. So it was good to get a point after being down 4-2 going in third. But, I mean, we showed some real good character. So, I mean, if we can continue on that trait, you know, and then a heartbreaking loss, and then we come back the next day on the road, you know, 12 hours later and score 10. So there's some real good signs here. Good signs.
Yeah, 14 goals in two games. That's, I mean, that you just look at that, and that's just a little crazy. Speaking of standout characters, I was wondering if you wanted to say a little bit about Jackson Alexiev, who has 15 points in 9 games. Like, that's kind of ridiculous. And then you got Birch and Spatafora, the Gazin, all with 10, 11, and 12 goals each. You want to talk a bit about Alexiev and the other guys that are just lighting it up lately?
Yeah, well, you know what? Everybody's getting an opportunity. I mean, we're rolling lines for the most part, which is great. So that shows our depth right now. But Jackson last year, coming in as a second-year guy, he got off to an incredible start where he had 4 goals in 3 games or 4 games. And then we went to the showcase, and he banged up his knee and missed substantial time. And then just didn't really, really get back in his groove. But, I mean, he was off to an incredible start and then had an unlucky bad injury knee. And this year, he's off to that great start again. And obviously, you know, we pray he stays healthy because he's been a leader on the ice and off the ice. And this is a start that he deserves, and he's getting rewarded for ice time wise. And if he keeps rolling, we're in pretty good shape if he keeps going, because everybody else is following his lead. You know, our power play is doing pretty good, and Spatafora's on that first unit with him and Birch.
Oh yeah.
And Connor Cole, they're all contributing, and it's you know, we're showing our depth. Our third line, which we're very happy with Hippolyte Smith and Mansfield and Pinelli, you know, a good addition. They got one last night, but they've been struggling. But, I mean, they're getting lots of chances to play in the right way. So, I mean, we've got a real good potential offensive line there that hasn't really gelled yet, but it's a good sign that we're still winning, and we haven't, you know, got a huge contribution from them on the scoreboard, but we're getting it, you know, other things and away from the scoreboard kind of thing. So we're still fine and not in panic mode whatsoever with those guys.
Absolutely. Those depth players, they're the ones that, you know, showing heart can be the most difficult, because, you know, you look up and you don't see the points necessarily on the stat sheet. And it's something you got to know as a coach or as a fan or whatever, that to be able to pick up on the heart that comes from those guys. Speaking of heart, I was wondering how you're feeling with Parakeo as captain. You know, a defenseman, he's got 8 points in 9 games. So that's solid as a defense if you're getting a point per game. But I was just wondering if how you feel he stepped into his role as captain so far this year.
Well, you know what, some guys are good leaders, and then you put a letter on their jersey, and sometimes they feel the pressure and they change the way they play, the way they think. But I think Marcello's done a great job of that. I mean, last year he came in, I knew him from previous minor hockey years. He came in and gelled right away with the existing guys, and obviously had an incredible playoff run. So he came into camp, he was in shape, he was hungry, he was gung-ho. He communicated over the summer about how excited he was, and it was a no-brainer for us to give him that C. And, I mean, he stepped up. His assistant captains are supporting him well. And, you know, I know he's still got more in him, believe it or not. I know, like, he's putting up almost a point a game, but I know he's got more in him, and he can play better defensively, and he knows that too. So, I mean, there's a bright future for him to have an outstanding year for us.
Absolutely. Another defenseman that's been getting it done is Nolet, who's got 3 goals and 6 assists. So again, another point per goal, point per game guy on defense. And just how you feeling about Nolet, and what would you like to see more out of him? Would you like to see less out of him?
Now, you know what, Justin's a stud. There's no question about it. People talk about him. All the scouts, he had a lot of Division I looks at the Buffalo Showcase, which is fantastic for him. He's earned it. He deserves it. We were actually very nervous that we were going to lose him to Sarnia and the OHL when he went to their camp, because he's certainly good enough to play in that league. Thank God it worked out for us. He'll get a Division I scholarship anytime real soon. And, you know, I think arguably he's in the, you know, top 2 or 3 D in the entire league, in my opinion. You know, Dirk Static's right up there with him for sure. But
yes.
Justin's a quiet, quiet leader that every single player on our team looks up to. He doesn't need a letter on his jersey. As Dirk, same thing. They're just leaders. And Justin, I think Justin's going to have an unbelievable breakout year and get his worth and get a D1 anytime soon.
Now, we got 2 games coming up this weekend. We got the Battle of Toronto over at Westwood on Saturday. And then we're off to play North York once again on Sunday. I'm just wondering, going into the game against the Junior Canadians, you know, they're 4 wins, 3 losses. They're another team that I work for, so I don't want to say they're struggling, but they kind of are. I'd say that they're underperforming, and I'm just wondering if there's anything specific that you're looking to see out of the team against the Junior Canadians on Saturday.
Well, again, I agree with you. I think they're struggling a little bit, but I think they're a very good team. I look up and down their lineup, and I know they're well coached. With Vince, you know, they're systematic, they're structured. You know, we're finding ways to win even if we're not playing great, and maybe it's the opposite for them right now. So, you know, it'll turn around. It's a divisional game. We've got 2 divisional games. You've got to win. You've got to win your divisional games to stay on top, so you get that home ice and stuff like that. So they're you know, very, very important games for us. You know, that quick turnaround again, like yesterday, we always find it hard to play the same goalie back-to-back when you play at night and then the next afternoon. So we'll see how that goes. You know, not sure what we'll do there, but obviously we'll just worry about Saturday right now, and that's a big one at home, and try to stay on top of those guys and then hope for the best on hopefully get a good result Saturday and then, you know, take something when it comes.
We seem to have, like, a lot of games where it's, like, nothing for 4 or 5 days and then bang, bang, 2 games back in a row. Is that frustrating to deal with as a coach, or is that, you know, something you just got to take and know that the schedule's going to come around and make a bit more sense in, like, a few weeks or a few months?
Yeah, you know what? I don't mind it. I think there's 2 different times this year where we play 3 and 3, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so it's tough. I don't mind not playing during the week because we really focus and get our 3 practices, and that helps so much because we'll do video as well. And, you know, we just focus on the things that we need to get better at and need to fix. And then the Thursday, normally, we'll gear the practice towards who we're playing on the weekend. So we'll look at Junior Canadians video and their systems, and then we'll gear practice towards that. So, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, keep the kids buzzing and keep moving. And then Thursday, a little more specific on who we're playing and what we're doing. So I honestly don't mind having a week off and then playing back-to-back on a weekend. I mean, it keeps the kids going, keeps them in shape, and gets them ready to go back-to-back days. So I'm totally fine with it. December is a tough month. We've got a lot of games over the holidays and stuff, so that'll be challenging for us. But other than that, I don't mind the schedule whatsoever.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. I know you're a busy guy, and I know it's been a tough week for you. And I just got to say, you're always welcome on Offside Hockey Talk whenever you want. If you ever want to come on and talk the Leafs, of course we can do that as well. I feel like at some point we're gonna have to sit down and talk about the Sioux Greyhounds and how Diener's doing up with the Sioux. So, just wanted to thank you for coming on, and it's always a pleasure having you on Offside Talk, man.
It's definitely a pleasure, Mark. I always thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. You guys do a great job for us that are – you guys do a great job. I love it. You make us, like I said before, more professional than we are, and I'm on board to help out any time, whether it's talking about the Leafs or Diener, my buddy Diener and the Sioux Greyhounds, or the Patriots or our league, anything. Anytime you guys need, let me know when I'm on.
You're a beauty, Mark. Thanks so much, man.
Okay.
Hey, have a good night, Mark. Appreciate you.
Yep. You guys enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll see you soon enough.
Yep. I'll see you on Saturday for sure.
Cheers, Mark.
You got her.
And that was Mark Jocelyn of the Toronto Junior Patriots. As you heard, he's dealing with a loss right now, and we send our thoughts and condolences to Mark and his family. You heard about Doug and his moment of silence. Those things matter the most. Hockey is a family. And we all like to come together in these times to make sure that one another knows we're always with them and we stand together no matter what. So, Mark, our thoughts again are with you, and have a great night.